Kreitzmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Minds of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, fortunately for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Chris Putman. Hi, Chris. How are we doing?
Hi, Stan. Great to be on with you.
Chris, are you there?
I am. I'm here.
Well, I guess so. We'll have to get the right earphones on, and hopefully we'll find that Chris is here, and we're going to have a fascinating interview. Hi, Chris. How are we doing?
Hi, I'm here.
Chris, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Well, we seem to be having all sorts of problems here. So, okay, Chris, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Chris?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, hopefully we're going to be able to get the story going here before long. I'm going to ask my producer to see if she can figure out why we do not have but right now, Chris, are you listening out there? Apparently, she can hear him, and I can't. Hopefully, we're going to be able to get him going here very, very shortly. And so this is Dr. Stan, and basically our guest this evening. And Chris, hang on, be patient. We'll get to you in just a moment, or I'll be able to hear you, hopefully. But Chris has written a wonderful book along with Tom Horn, and it is called. It is called Exo-Vaticana,
yeah.
And basically it's a fascinating, fascinating story. Okay, Chris, are you there?
Hello.
Okay, we finally got Chris on the line. So basically, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about this, because it's the most fascinating book. Going into the background, certainly, of this idea that they're UFOs, the fact that there are extraterrestrial beings, which I don't believe at all, but apparently there are a lot of very powerful people who believe it, including people at the highest levels of the Vatican. So you pick the story up from there. Chris, go right ahead. Can you hear me? Well, I don't.
Are you there?
Yes, I can. You go right ahead, Chris.
Okay. Hang on. I'm having some technical issues here myself. Okay. So what the book Exo Vaticana is about is that Tom Horn and myself made a trip to the Vatican Observatory in Arizona to get to the bottom of what all this hoopla is about ETs in the Vatican. There's been all kinds of extraordinary stories on the internet and in the press over the last few years. In 2009, they actually had a astrobiology conference sponsored by the Pontifical Academy of Sciences in Rome. And of course, astrobiology is the marriage of astronomy and biology, which is the study of the universe and the study of life, which is a strange marriage if you think about it, because as far as we know, there is no life in space. But now, of course, you can get a PhD in the subject that has technically nothing to study.
Go right ahead. So basically, of course, is this belief in the extraterrestrials and UFOs. What's that all about?
Well, you know, I think that there's a worldview issue behind it. It really does come from a secular mindset that denies God as creator and kind of extols things like the belief in abiogenesis, that life evolved from non-life, and in Darwinian evolution. So basically, they kind of extrapolate this idea that the Earth is just a mediocre planet, so...
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we finally got things running smoothly. Our guest, of course, is Chris Putman, who, along with Tom Horn, has written a couple of books, Petrus Romanus, which we've certainly talked about in the past, but now we're talking about their new book, Exo Vaticana. And I will tell you, this is a fascinating book, because it really starts, certainly, with, of course, a trip into the desert there in Arizona, going up on, I believe it's Mount Graham, where the largest observatory anywhere in the world is, and where the Jesuits, who have certainly an observatory with the largest telescope in the world, and they're looking for extraterrestrial life and UFOs, and they really believe that there is extraterrestrial life. They really believe that they're UFOs, and these concepts are actually echoed in the Vatican. Now, basically, of course, those of you who've listened to our program regularly will realize, of course, that they are no UFOs as such. They're real, but they're certainly not from other planets. Demonic manifestations from the other dimension. And just as we live in a material world, so there's a mystical world. As we live in a subjective world, there is a spiritual world. As we live in a visible world, there's an invisible world. But why would the Jesuits actually suddenly embrace this idea of extraterrestrials? And there, of course, if you read the book, why, you'll find out that they have this largest of all telescopes, and basically it's mediated by a mechanism called Lucifer, L-U-C-I-F-E-R. Why would they come up with a name like that? Go right ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, that is really interesting that, you know, right up on top of Mount Graham, there is the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope, which was the first observatory that they built up there. And then just a few hundred yards from it is the submillimeter radio telescope, and that's one of the big dishes, and it it actually operates in a near-infrared spectrum, and they use it to look for things in deep space because infrared light has a longer wavelength, and the sub-millimeter band also has has a long wavelength. Now, it's not quite as long as the big dishes that they use for SETI, which are almost like two football fields. You've seen some of those, but the sub-millimeter is between the infrared and the ones that they use for SETI. And then, just right next to that, and these are all really close together, is the Large Binocular Telescope. Now, this is the one that truly is the most powerful telescope in the world. And, you know, it's a $33 million project. That's a consortium of a whole bunch of different universities, and it seems to be the key player behind the Large Binocular Telescope is the Max Planck Institute from Germany. Now, this is the same organization. It was affiliated with Dr. Mengele back during World War II. Of course, it's different people, but their heritage is definitely kind of spooky. They are the ones that take credit for naming the Lucifer device, which is really a high-tech camera that's focused in the Large Binocular Telescope. Now, it's funny, they kind of talk out of both sides of their mouth about why they named it Lucifer. It's supposed to be an acronym that stands for Large Binocular Telescope Infrared Utility Camera and Infrascopic Utility for Extragalactic Research. Now, I might have bungled that a little bit, but that's pretty close to what it stands
but
for.
But what they've done is actually come up with a mnemonic to rhyme with Lucifer. I mean,
yeah,
basically,
they did. Yeah.
There is no reason they really had to reach to do that. When they put together this mnemonic, they call about a large binocular telescope. And then, of course, they go on into basically how this has utility and how it's has to do with this extragalactic research. That's the ER at the end of Lucifer. And you look at this thing, this is not accidental. This has nothing to do with anything other than they wanted to call it Lucifer. They created this name, this long mnemonic, to rhyme with Lucifer. And you have to ask yourself, why would Jesuits, the Jesuit scientists behind this, do that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, you're right. I mean, that long string of technical words, they really had to force it to mean Lucifer. Now, you know, when you press them to ask them why, you know, why they did that, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. First thing that the answer that when we contacted them at the Max Planck Institute was, well, you know, Isaiah 14, which is where, you know, it has the account of the fall of Satan, and the word Lucifer is used in the King James Bible. And so they try to claim, well, that's not really about the devil. That's about the king of Babylon, you know. And so they kind of deny it on one side of their mouth. And then the next thing out of his mouth is, well, actually, you know, one of our leaders in Germany, who was one of the guys that really got the money, the funds together to help build this project, his last name in German literally means devil. So to honor him, we decided to name the instrument Lucifer. So, you know, in one side of their mouth, they're saying it doesn't really mean the devil. But then they're telling us, well, we wanted to honor this guy, and his last name means devil, so we named it that to honor him. So one way or the other, they meant it to name the devil after the devil. And, you know, it's just kind of funny how they try to dismiss it on one hand and then admit it on the other, you know, all the while.
But, Chris, are they actually tracking UFOs with this telescope?
Well, that would be hard to say. You know, it'd be hard to prove because you'd really have to. You know, what they did say, now this came right out of the technician's mouth when Tom and I were sitting there. He was talking about how valuable the time is to use that instrument because, I mean, astronomers from all over the world sign up to get time on it because it is the most powerful telescope in the world. It literally gets better images than the Hubble Space Telescope. Now, he said, now what if, you know, a lot of people ask us, what if a UFO flew up, you know, somewhere in your viewing area, would you alter your viewing schedule in order to look at the UFO. And he said, no, we probably wouldn't, because they're so common, we would probably just skip to what we were studying at the time.
No, repeat that again. They're so common. In other words, they see them so commonly,
right,
they wouldn't be really concerned about seeing a UFO. Ladies and gentlemen, these are certainly craft from another dimension. This is from this invisible world out there, and they're not even really concerned about it. They're so common that they wouldn't stop what they were doing. I mean, I think this is very revealing. Go ahead.
Yes, we found that rather astounding. We didn't even bring up the subject. That just came out of the technician's mouth all on his own. We really didn't even broach that subject, and that's exactly what he came. Now, you know, it's completely uncontroversial that the mission of that facility is to look for life in space. I mean, they come out and say that. That's in their mission statement. Astrobiology is one of the prime missions, probably the number one mission, because it is the most powerful telescope in the world, and it's really driven by the MIRA technology. The University of Arizona pioneered a new way of manufacturing really large mirrors. So the larger the mirror, the more light gathering power that it has. And so they pioneered this way of using Pyrex glass and a honeycomb pattern where they can make these huge mirrors. So when they call it binocular, they actually have two mirrors. So they have two mirrors that are bigger than any other telescope in the world, and, you know, side by side. And because of having two, they can correct for the lensing effect of the atmosphere. And this is why they get better images than the Hubble Space Telescope, because a lot of times moisture and the atmosphere creates an effect that will distort the image, but they can actually focus by moving the two lenses and correct for that factor and get a crystal clear image into deep space. Now, in their mission statement, one of the primary missions is the search for exoplanets. Now, an exoplanet, that means extra solar planet. So, you know, we had not found any planets outside of our own solar system as of 1996. We found the very first one in 1996. Now, as of today, scientists have cataloged over 600 extrasolar planets. Now, that's rather astounding. Most of that was done with the Kepler space satellite. Now, the large binocular telescope is supposed to be gearing up right now. It's right as we're speaking, this spring is when they're really supposed to go into full effect. It's a brand new facility, so it hasn't really made any huge discoveries that we know of yet. So they're actually jumping into high gear right now, as far as I know. And so they should be actively engaged in confirming some of these extrasolar planets. Now, out of those 600 or so, they have a short list of maybe 12. And they call these planets in the habitable zone. Literally, you know, they call it the Goldilocks zone. This is what they think is an area roughly at a distance from its star that's comparable, like, say, between Mars and Venus. So it's at a Earth-like distance from its star. Now, why do they call that the Goldilocks zone? Well, it means it's not too hot where water would vaporize, and it's not too cold where water would freeze. Now, here again, we're driven by presuppositions, because the presupposition is, if you have water in the right temperature, that life will just poof into being. And so it's really another worldview question. It's driven by naturalism. And it's basically an atheistic type of belief that just says that given the right conditions and the right chemicals, the right temperature, life just pops into being. So it's inevitable.
But of course the thing is that from a Christian point of view, we believe that God created life. And
absolutely.
It's so complicated. There's no way this could have happened by accident.
Absolutely.
And yet we find Jesuits, we find people at the highest levels of the Catholic Church embracing this. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people in the Protestant Church who do as well, but everything is being done to destroy the Christian foundation upon which current society exists and replace it with a different philosophy.
I agree. Absolutely.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self. Being free of diseases, free of wealth. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is Chris Putman, and we're talking really certainly about their two books. First of all is Petrus Romanus, where, of course, they prophesied that the next pope would be, at least according to Father Malachi. This is not Malachi Martin. This is a Father Malachi that lived back in the 1100s. But he actually prophesied what all the future was going to be for the Catholic Church and a list of all the popes. And basically, there were going to be a certain number of popes, and then there would be the last pope that would work with Satan to actually influence what was going on in the world. And of course, if you follow that prophecy going back to the 1100s, why, of course, the current pope is the last pope. Now, what's pretty significant about this, and we may be certainly reaching for this, but basically, of course, when Pope Benedict resigned, he was the first pope to resign in 600 years. And, of course, he was replaced now with Pope Francis. And basically, of course, this new pope is the first Jesuit pope there's ever been. And of course, this man is he's getting wonderful, wonderful press. But of course, he is very, very closely tied with this whole humanistic movement within the Jesuit faith that is aimed at undermining the basic precepts of the Catholic Church. Now, those of you who don't know who Father Malachi Martin was, certainly he was a friend of Tom Horn's. He was a friend of mine. We interviewed him a number of times. We have a 4-CD set. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, where he talks about and writes about the satanic influence in the Catholic Church. Let me repeat that. He writes about the satanic influence of the Catholic Church. He writes a book called The Windswept House that begins certainly with a satanic ceremony carried out in the basement of the Catholic Church. Now, they're not really doing a human sacrifice there. The human sacrifice is being done somewhere outside of the Vatican, but they simulated the human sacrifice in the basement of the Vatican is timed to correspond with a real killing of a real human being elsewhere. Now, the book is written in fiction. I personally asked Malachi Martin, well, certainly it's a very interesting story, but is there any truth to it? And he said, absolutely, but I cannot write this as fact. I have to write it in fiction form. But he said, most of the things you'll read in my book, Windswept House, are absolutely true about the satanic influence and takeover of the Vatican and of the Catholic Church today. Go right ahead, Chris.
Well, so, you know, how does this final pope fit in to our new book, which is Exo Vaticana, which is about the Vatican's interest in extraterrestrials, astrobiology, UFOs? Well, what I was building up to was that this new pope is from Argentina, and the leader of the Vatican Observatory Research Group, Jose Funes, was actually initiated into the Jesuit order by Cardinal Bergoglio. So literally, Pope Francis is the one who brought in the leader of the Vatican Observatory Research Group as a neophyte. So they have a very intimate and tight relationship. And Pope Francis was trained as a master's degree in chemistry. So he actually started out his career aspirations as a scientist as well. So you really couldn't ask for a more perfect scenario if the Vatican is going to do what they said they were going to do in 2009, which I guess I should explain that a little bit. At that astrobiology conference that happened in 2009, you can read about this on the internet. There's plenty of articles about it. Jose Funes gave an interview to the Vatican newspaper, and the title of the headline was "The Extraterrestrial Is My Brother," and he literally came out, advocating belief in extraterrestrials, but the fact that he thought that they would be benevolent, and in fact, he argued that they likely would not be fallen, and in fact, they could be coming here to evangelize us. Now, at that conference, this is where the Pontifical Academy of Sciences invited the top secular, astronomers and astrobiologists from around the world. One of those people was Dr. Chris Impey from the University of Arizona, which is right there at Mount Graham, and happens to have one of the premier astrobiology programs in the world. Now, Chris Impey gave the keynote address, and he said that they expected to have an announcement within a few short years. That's a direct quote, a few short years. That was in 2009. So that would be right about the time that we're in right now. Now,
what was this announcement going to be, though?
I mean, they were talking about life in space. So, I don't know what he's expecting. I suspect that he thinks that these exoplanets that they're locating are going to, produce some sort of evidence for life.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the thing is that what are we dealing with here? Certainly the Catholic Church traditionally was a staunchly Christian organization, but it seems to be infiltrated. We know many Masons are in key positions in the College of Cardinals.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Chris Putman, who is a co-author of a book we're carrying. We think it's a very, very important book. It's called Exo Vaticana. And it is the background of this belief within certain aspects of the Catholic Church, including very strongly within the Jesuits, that there is extraterrestrial life. And that is how life came to America. Well, of course, life came to the Earth. But basically, of course, there's no place there in this whole philosophy for God. I mean, basically, we believe as Christians that God created the heavens and the earth, and God created life, and life is something unique, and it could never have happened just by accident. Well, these people are saying it didn't happen by accident. It just came from other planets. And they really believe that they're UFOs, and they really believe that there are extraterrestrial beings. And, of course, they come here from time to time to visit us, and of course that they certainly have a great deal to offer us, whereas of course those people who are traditional Christians recognize that there really is another dimension, there really are certainly these invisible creatures, there really are these supernatural beings, and they're seen in many, many ways, whether they be the Greys, whether they will be certainly these the sightings, whether it would be Bigfoot or whether they would be the Loch Ness Monster, or all of these supernatural things that we're told about over and over again. Many of them, we can't say which ones, but many of them are manifestations of this other dimension, of these beings from this other other realm, as it were. Would you agree or disagree with that, Chris?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. You know, a lot of this, what I'm telling you about, is the problem, and a lot of what you just said is the truth. You know, I absolutely believe that the Earth is uniquely positioned and uniquely endowed with the qualities that it takes to support life. And I present a lot of evidence in this book, Exo Vaticana, arguing that, you know, there's no other planet that have discovered that anything close to being habitable, I mean, the whole idea that they're promoting habitable zone is really a misnomer. All they're talking about is, you know, a certain position away from a star. They don't have a shred of evidence that any of these planets can support life. And I'm completely in agreement with the statement that you made. The things that, you know, people are seeing and calling UFOs are not coming from other planets. These things are popping into our atmosphere. We don't see them coming from space. They're probably right here with us most of the time, and you know, I suspect that they are the product of fallen angels. Some of them could be top secret military projects or something like that, but I suspect that a lot of what we're seeing is from the demonic realm. Now, you know, some of the exegetical research that I did for the book, you know, Paul talks about, you know, that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, he also talked about it in the beginning of that book, that he calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Now, I think that he meant that literally. Now, when you look at the first century worldview, of what does the Jews, what does the apostles mean about that? What did they think about the demonic realm? Well, they actually, the worldview they had then was that the demonic realm consisted of the sky, the area between the earth and the moon. So literally, our atmosphere and the near space between the earth and the moon was where they thought that these powers and principalities and the demons resided. You know, the idea that the demons are all down in hell really came later on with, like, Dante's Inferno and a lot of Catholic ideas. But the New Testament view was always that, really, they inhabited the sky. So is it really all that surprising, given the biblical teaching, that we would see strange things in the sky, and they would promote this idea that they're extraterrestrials? Now, I think that that's really just, you know, the new disguise that they're wearing in the 20th century. I think that they've probably always been around. If you look at the lore, you know, of ancient peoples and even people in the Middle Ages and not that long ago, there've always been some kind of presence. You know, it's just changed. And, you know, the way that people have studied this phenomenon, you know, it's pretty obvious to me that they just stay two steps ahead of the technology of the day. You know, you can look back at the 19th century, and there was a rash of UFO sightings that looked like, they called them the airships. You know, so it looked like some kind of dirigible, but it was a couple decades before the first balloons that we know about, but it looked like, you know, olden technology. So they had this airship, you know, this flap of airship sightings in the late 1800s. So, you know, once that kind of went away, by the 40s, they started seeing these Foo Fighters, these little balls that were flying next to the planes of World War II, and then all of a sudden it was flying saucers. You know, and so the story always kind of just evolved and stays a little bit step ahead of the technology that people are aware of. But it's been consistent. So I don't think it's new. I don't think they're visiting us from other worlds. I think it's just a deception that they've been playing on humanity for quite a while. And you know, a lot of it is to lead people away from the biblical worldview. So this idea of panspermia that some of these Catholic astronomers are promoting, you know, and even writing that we evolved from alien refuse, which I find just to be, you know, heresy. You know, this idea has really grown legs.
But aren't these primarily Jesuit astronomers? This is not the general Catholic Church, but this is a separate division of the certainly of the Catholic Church, and there really is a conflict between many responsible Catholics and the belief of the Jesuits. Now, this not that all Jesuits are bad, but there certainly is a very dark element within the Jesuits' religion. And if you haven't read certainly Malachi Martin's books on this subject, subject. We actually have a 4-CD set of my interviews with Malachi, and he goes into the background of what the Jesuits really believe. Now, here is a man who is a confidant of Pope John the 23rd, and he was in Rome as a personal advisor to not one but several popes, until he finally began to realize, of course, what was going on, and he simply broke with the Jesuits, and although he remained a priest, he certainly was not under Jesuit control. And we are deeply indebted to Father Malachi for some of the stories. In fact, one of them, of course, you can actually hear him tell the story in our 4-tape set. And this was certainly after John Paul I. John Paul I came into office. He wanted really to clean up the Catholic Church. He lasted 33 days and died under very mysterious circumstances. And then, of course, they were going to have to actually elect a new pope. So they had their meeting with the cardinals. They picked one of the cardinals, and he was on the way to the podium to actually accept the papacy, and somebody handed him a slip of paper, and on which was written, "If you accept the papacy, you and your entire family will be killed. You and your entire family will be killed." Well, needless to say, he didn't accept the papacy. You can actually hear Father Malachi telling that story. You're never going to read that in the New York Times or elsewhere, because the Catholic Church is one of the most powerful organizations in the world today. Well, then, of course, we got John Paul II, and then, of course, we got Benedict. And now we have certainly Pope Francis, and basically the first Jesuit priest in all history. And it's said that certainly there was very real reasons why Pope Benedict resigned. Do you cover that at all in the book, why Pope Benedict resigned?
Well, you know, we suspect, you know, that some of his health concerns might be real. You know, there's certainly no reason to doubt that he's in his upper 80s now. So, you know, but you know, there could be just a lot of pressure on him from different sectors. Now, I think this Jesuit order might be the one that actually won out. You know, what was interesting about him stepping down is that, you know, in our book Petrus Romanus that came out in April of 2012, we actually predicted that he would, because of the timing of another Jesuit who actually believed deeply in the Malachi prophecy, had done some calculations based on that Latin text, and he thought that the final pope on the list would come into office in April of 2012. So, you know, we actually went out on a limb and predicted that Pope Benedict would step down based on his calculations. Now, you know, when 2012 came and went, and Benedict didn't, was still in office, we thought, well, maybe it was this guy, René Thibault, the Belgian Jesuit who predicted it in his book written in 1950. You know, we thought that he must have been mistaken, but it turns out when February 11th, when Benedict made his announcement that he was stepping down, it came out that his decision to step down was made at the end of March 2012 when he got back from his South American trip. So quite literally, he decided he was going to step down and told a select few insiders that he was going to right at the end of March, which is like, you know, right exactly when this Belgian Jesuit, Father René Thibault, he predicted that the papacy would change hands in April of 2012 in 1950 in print in his book, The Mysterious Prophecy of the Pope. So that was really the astounding revelation that kind of gave new legs to our book, Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope Is Here, because, you know, people were wondering how in the world that we saw that coming. Well, you know, we didn't really. We just studied his book, and, you know, there were some rumors that Benedict's health was not good. So, you know, we just kind of put the two together and said, hey, you know, if this Jesuit is right, and he kind of did some really strange mystical calculations based on the Malachi prophecy, but he thinks that the final pope will come into office in April 2012. So that means something has to happen to Benedict. And we think that maybe he'll step down for health reasons. Well, he did.
But you see, basically, all the popes, as they get very old, have poor health. And certainly John Paul II had poor health. But this is the first pope to reside in 600 years. So this prophecy is certainly very, very important. And I believe that there is a timetable. As I study what's going on in the world today, I believe there's a timetable, and I believe that this is the time for this pope to be in office. He is the first Jesuit we've ever had as a pope. And basically, he's there for a specific purpose, and certainly he has an entirely different worldview than the typical Christian worldview. But go right ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's intriguing, to say the least. You know, it's hard to know what, you know, Francis is positioned as far as the world sees as just, you know, a very humble and, you know, gracious leader. But, you know, I find that his connection to the Jesuit order and his connection to the Vatican Observatory Research Group is quite suggestive. You know, we suspect that something along the lines of some kind of extraterrestrial revelation really could be the strong delusion predicted in biblical prophecy.
But another thing is that Pope Francis is talking about the necessity of a world government and a world religion. And
absolutely,
he actually had a number of of religious leaders from the Muslim faith and from other faiths. And he said, we all worship the same God. We worship the same God as the Muslims. Has he ever read the Bible and read the Quran? I mean, here's a man, he's very well educated. He's got a couple of PhDs. I mean, he's no slacker at all. And he very well knows that the God of the Muslims is not the God of the Bible. So why would he make a statement like that? And I believe, of course, there's going to be a very real effort to bring about a one world religion and progressively undermine the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the push for that one world religion currently. I mean, and he's definitely leading the ecumenical charge. And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the false prophet. And that's what Tom Horn and I wrote, you know, in Petrus Hermanus, that we thought this final pope could be the false prophet, you know. And, you know, it's the way it describes him in the prophecy. It says, you know, have horns like a lamb, yet speak like a dragon.
And basically, of course, you know, the book Petrus Romanus we carry, the book Exo Vaticana we carry. There are two books, great big long books. I wish they'd a little lot shorter, but basically they're so fascinating, they're hard to put down. And believe me, it's vitally important that Christians understand not only what's taking place politically, but what's happening spiritually and the changes that are coming within the Catholic Church, but they're very well mirrored with what's coming on in the Protestant Church, because certainly there have been dramatic changes in the Protestant Church in recent decades, but very few people want to talk about them. Go right ahead, Chris.
Well, yeah, I just saw, you know, the famous Baptist pastor who built stadiums, Joel Osteen. You know, it's a very me-centered, kind of consumer-driven theology that he promotes. It's all about, having your best life now. He just came out in the media yesterday and made a statement how, that Christians in America should unite with the Catholic Church. So, you know, here we have one of the most popular Protestant pastors who, you know, literally has a church that is an ex-basketball stadium, professional basketball stadium in Texas. You know, his church seats, 30,000-40,000 people. And he's come out and advocated reuniting with Rome, basically. So, Pope Francis isn't the only one doing it. You're right. And we are seeing a move toward uniting the world.
Before we go on, Chris, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website and Tom's website. And, of course, we do carry the books, but how can they get to your website and what will they learn there?
Well, certainly. My website is logosapologia.org, and I write about these topics in the book and different areas from Christian apologetics and theology. That's logosapologia.org. Now, to find out about the two books, Exo Vaticana and Petrus Romanus, that I've co-wrote with Tom Horn. His website is RaidersNewsUpdate.com, and it's just spelled exactly like that, all one word, RaidersNewsUpdate.com. And he has all kinds of information about the book. And there's also a website, ExoVaticana.com, ExoVaticana.com, and it's actually the promotional website for the new book, ExoVaticana. So it's also at Amazon and at various bookstores, Books a Million, I think Barnes & Noble as well.
Okay, it's an excellent book, ladies and gentlemen, and we hope you want to get it. I've said that you can get it by giving us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's Exo Vaticana. You probably would want to read Petrus Romanus first, but they're important books. They give you an entirely different outlook on what's going on in the world. I mean, why would people at the upper echelons of the Vatican faith be talking about these extraterrestrials and about these UFOs, you know? Don't they recognize that there is a supernatural element in the world today? Don't they realize that they're demonic forces? We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program right here at Radio Liberty, but we are involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men. Wrap up the program, so you go right ahead.
Okay. Well, it's been my pleasure to be on the show and talk to you about these things today. You know, one of the things that I would just like to say is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, the Bible doesn't really say whether or not there's other worlds or extraterrestrials. But, you know, I think that silence is suggestive. You know, an argument from silence that maybe God does have other worlds. But I'll tell you one thing. The Bible has a philosophy of history, and it has a lot of prophecy. And what it tells us as Christians to be watching for is the return of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say anything about the arrival of any benevolent aliens that are here to help us along the way. That's completely absent from Scripture. But it does tell us to expect a great deception. It tells us that the level of deception will be so strong that even the elect could be deceived. That's Jesus, what Jesus said. So, you know, I don't buy any of this idea that we're having alien saviors to come and adapt our theology. And, you know, I think the next time we get together, we can talk about that. But the Vatican is absolutely written documents expecting the arrival of these aliens that are going to dictate new theology. I mean, they have the theological documents in place now where they're expecting this to happen. And, you know, in our next discussion, I guess we can get into some of that. It's been my pleasure to talk to you tonight, though.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate you being with us, and thank you so very much, and we'll look forward to having you on. I think we have you on either later this week or next week, but thanks very much. Good night.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay, good night.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains, through the prairies, through the
ocean. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed the conversation with Chris Putman tonight, co-author of the book Exo Vaticana. And I will tell you, it's a book is hard to put down, because basically we're getting into this whole supernatural realm that certainly is so vitally important today. And there is a supernatural world out there. But of course, this is not coming from outer space. That these beings, these supernatural beings, are not coming from other planets. They are part of this. And why would the leaders of the Catholic Church, so many of them, embrace this? Now, I'm sure that there are people within the Catholic Church who recognize the spiritual battle that's taking place. But unfortunately, there are people in the various highest levels of the Jesuits who seem to have a different agenda. One of the things you sort of would want to read, you'd want to read, of course, Petrus Romanus, that's Petrus Romanus. You'd want to read the book on Exo Vaticana. You'd want to hear our 4-CD set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, who actually told us so many amazing stories about the books he'd written and about his deep and grave concern about the dark spiritual forces working at the highest levels of the Catholic Church. So understand that it's not just the Catholic Church that's been infiltrated. The Protestant Church has been infiltrated as well. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to help us get the information out about what's going on. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we do hope, of course, you'll go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs there. Certainly, 24 hours a day, the archive programs, as you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and 4 of those are posted on our website, either live or certainly in the archive section. So certainly radioliberty.com, and then, of course, you're in a position to help us financially so that we can continue maintaining the over 50 outlets every week where our programs are heard. And they're not only heard here, they're heard throughout the world. I just got an email the other day from somebody over in Israel who told me they were going to meet me at the conspiracy conference. They were coming over from Israel. So Cheryl Hancock, who lives in Jerusalem, told me about 2 months ago how amazed she was at the number of people living in Israel who listened to my programs, and of course it heard her on the programs, and certainly had actually sent her email. So we know we're reaching out all across the world, and if you'd like to be part of the brotherhood, pardon me, of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, it's as simple as calling 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family. You can certainly subscribe to our newsletter. Maybe you have a product you'd like to certainly advertise. Maybe you'd like to get the books or CD sets or tape sets or DVDs or videos that we offer, or certainly the other products, the health products, the spices, the Miracle 2 products, certainly the Berkey water products. They all help to keep us going. And so if you are in a position to help, we'd appreciate it. And if you're not, why, we ask you to pray for my ministry, for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection, because we truly are on the front lines of a truly spiritual battle. So again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you're only going to read one thing, read Brotherhood of Darkness. That's my treatise, and basically we take you into the secret societies. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies out there that are working behind the scenes. They've been around for thousands of years. They're manifested today through a number of organizations which we discuss. If you'd like to get Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies, we have used copies. And there on page 280, he talks about the most powerful secret society in America today, the Trilateral Commission, where he simply says on page 280, the goal of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission is to take control of the political and economic structure, and he's talking of the world, by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. Those are his words. First seizing control of the political government of the United States. They have done that. And if you haven't, don't realize, of course, 7 of our last 12 Secretaries of State came from the membership rolls. We'll be back in just a moment. America.
Let guide her, man, guide her. Through the night with a light from above. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, white with
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pat Wood, of August.org, AugustReview.org. That's AugustReview.org. Hi, Pat. How are we doing?
Well, just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me back on your program.
Well, basically, what are we going to be talking about this evening?
Well, one thing I think, Dr. Stan, that needs to be brought out, there's a couple of pieces of legislation that are kind of being snuck through right now while the world is focusing on the tragic events, terrorist attacks in Boston. And I think both of these pieces of legislation are worth talking about to some extent. One is the rush to clamp down an internet sales tax that would cause companies throughout America to charge tax in every jurisdiction into which they sell their products. And another act that's been slipping through is a cybersecurity act that is completely absolving all private entities from sharing customer data with the government, including the NSA, Homeland Security, Department of Defense, et cetera. And together, these acts aren't directly related, but together we're having an incredible attack on the fundamental right of privacy to citizens. It's absolutely incredible, Dr. Stan. The onslaught just continues. That's all I can say.
Well, basically, of course, the government wants to have dossiers on everybody, everything they buy, everything they say, everything they read, everything. So they basically already under Project Echelon, they have been listening to our telephone conversations. They've been certainly listening or reading our emails. They've been reading our faxes. This has gone on long before there was any terror threat at all, because, of course, they want to monitor every one of us from the cradle to the grave. They have dossiers on us now. If you don't believe that they suddenly listen to all your telephone calls, it's Project Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. E-C-H-E-L-O-N, this has been around for 30 years. Suddenly, even before we had our faxes and our emails, that we're going over the internet, but they routinely listen to all of our conversations. Ladies and gentlemen, they were listening to the conversations and reading the emails and faxes of the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Why were they doing that? Well, because they monitor everybody, because he's a military officer. And the last thing they would want, when our military officers, who've sworn to uphold our Constitution, to really do what they've been told to do, because we've been taken over by a small subversive group, the Trilateral Commission, and some of their ancillary organizations, and they control both political parties. They make mockery of our electoral process. They rig our elections. Certainly, every one of those electronic voting machines can be rigged. But the American people must never understand that sort of things, but they do listen to our conversations. And now, of course, they're going to get all the information from anybody we do business with on the internet. Would that be a fair appraisal, Pat?
Well, it is. And there in the past, there has been some definite civil liberties issues that could be brought to court against companies that shared private information, at least what they thought was private, with government entities. That's been removed now. And it's not only legal, but they're absolved from any aftermarket lawsuits, criminal activity, et cetera.
And so while our attention is certainly focused on this crisis in Boston, why they sneak through all of these other things? They're very, very clever, ladies and gentlemen. But they're totally distracted, and they get these things through. Go right ahead, Pat.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know we were back on. The internet sales tax is also going to push through. Harry Reid, again, has trying to pull a fast one in the Senate by invoking a rule that that allows this internet tax bill to bypass committee and go straight to the floor for a vote. This bill has failed in the past, but now it's coming through on a new venue. It won't be debated by committee, and this bill is being pushed. It's being sponsored by many of the big retailers like Amazon and Walmart, and some of the big online companies that now have they'd like to have a near monopoly on their for their online sales, of course. But the net effect of this, if this passes, will be to put incredible pressure on small internet retailers all over the country. These are people who will be required to all of a sudden calculate sales tax for every state that they sell to, not only pay it, which by itself isn't that difficult to pay it, software can figure this stuff out, but they will be subject to audit by 50 different states, or at least 47, three or four don't have sales tax. They will be subject to audits by all of these state entities around the country, and these poor small retailers, internet retailers, are absolutely going to get decimated. And this thing is sneaking through in the dead of night. The impact of it is just going to be huge, Dr. Stan. I can't imagine. I'm a small retailer. You are too, as a matter of fact. I know you sell some things on the internet.
Sure.
The burden that would be required on us to tax it is bad enough. But the burden of having to be subject to audits from New Jersey or New York or Georgia or Texas or wherever it might be is absolutely unconscionable. The small businessman could not possibly afford to live in that kind of environment with that kind of liability. Just they won't be able to do it. So it's no wonder that the Walmarts of the world are pushing, and Amazon are pushing this bill to drive the smaller retailers out of business, leaving them to be, if you will, like the IBMs of the computer world. They will be the IBMs of the retail world.
Okay, hold that thought, Pat. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pat is simply talking about how this requirement for state sales tax is going to, of course, hit the small of retailers, and basically he's going to have to be subject to be audited from 50 different states. And basically, if this gets through, why, of course, it's going to have a tremendous financial burden on small retailers, which is why the large retailers like Walmart just love this state, this internet sales tax. Certainly, they're going to have if they have internet outlets, why, they'll have it. But they have the ability to actually withstand any sort of an audit. They've got billions of dollars at their disposal, but the average small person doesn't. And basically, this is going to be a tremendous, tremendous burden. And then, of course, people will probably rather go to their local Walmart rather than have to pay a sales tax to buy something from another state. This is going to work very much against the individual. But, of course, it's going to benefit the large retailers. They know exactly what they're doing. The average individual doesn't. Go right ahead, Pat.
Well, yeah, I'd like to point out, too, that this bill was authored by a Republican, which is really interesting. This bill is so bad that you know, some of the other groups and stuff that are opposing it are actually rather left-wing groups. They've picked up on it that this is not a good thing for America. And yet, while, you know, while people are looking to the more conservative side of the House and the Senate, you know, they're busy, you know, bringing up stuff like this. And also the cybersecurity bill as well. And, you know, you just wonder what they're thinking. Well, it's a political thing. It's, you know, it's all about money, again, for all of the states that would be able to collect extra money from out-of-state sales. Why, it's a boon to them. You know, they're not getting anything now. They figure, what the heck, they get more. And so a lot of these congressmen or senators are going to be popular back home because their states will be able to raise money without having to raise taxes on their own citizens. But really what it is a trade war between the states, much like a trade war between nations when tariffs and excise taxes go up. But before long, all of a sudden, you have the states, at war with each other over tax collection. And so it's not going to end well, is all I can say. It's absolutely not going to end well.
Basically, of course, buying on the Internet, first of all, you have to pay for shipping, and that can be a big factor. But then you've got to have to pay sales tax on top of that. That really gets, of course, raises the price even higher, so that many times it'll be cheaper simply to go to your local Walmart than to buy it on the Internet. So basically, of course, well, they're going to start to utilize every trick to try to destroy sales on the Internet. Would that be a fair appraisal, would you say?
Well, it would be, and I think most most business people would probably not object to a level playing field. If everybody was subject to the same rules of taxation and stuff, you know, that might be something that people could live with. But what they're not addressing in this act is, I mean, there's zero text addressing it. Is how will all these various states go after the individual businesses in these other states when they have, a tax issue, when they want to audit them? And I've done business in California. You're in California. You know what it's like when you get a letter from the state board of sales tax. They say, we want to come see your book, or we want you to do this or do that or prove this or prove that. It's bad enough doing it in your home state. Imagine having to answer to 50 different states when they start coming after you, demanding information, thinking, well, you've been cheating us, or you know, we don't think you've been paying us, so prove it. It's ridiculous.
Well,
that's
the
big
problem. Yeah. Well, right now, of course, we are collecting our state sales tax from California, and I'm pretty not certain. I'm sure my wife can tell me if we're collecting it for other states as well, but certainly it's a very burdensome thing to have to do. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So basically, of course, while they keep your attention focused on the tragedy of what's happening there in Boston, they've been sneaking these things through the Senate. I wonder if it just happened by coincidence. This is going on right now. Go right ahead, Pat.
Well, I'll just turn back to the cybersecurity bill for just a minute because cybersecurity is really an issue. There, American businesses and the government have been under attack from very sophisticated programmers and hackers from China, from the eastern regions of Russia, from Russia itself. We have a lot of enemies out there that would like to do a lot of damage to our cyber infrastructure in the United States. But so far, what's slipping through here is a bill that is going to make it complete unaccountability from now on for any business who transmits customer data to the government. And we remember a few years ago that AT&T was discovered to have installed secret rooms, listening rooms, to monitor all the traffic on the Internet. There was a big stink about it at the time, and it was illegal. They got reprimanded. They got slapped. It didn't stop them, but you know, it was illegal. It was determined at that time. Now there will be no, and I'll read right from the bill. It says no civil or criminal cause of action shall lie or be maintained in federal or state court against a protected entity, self-protected entity, cybersecurity provider, or an officer, employee, or agent of a protected entity, self-protected entity, or cyber security provider. And Dr. Stan, what that means is these people can act with impunity to transmit 100% of your data to any federal agency that they see fit and have absolutely no repercussions from you or anybody else. You can do nothing to stop them from doing it.
Well, and Chris, this is all justified, Pat, under the name of protecting us from those wicked terrorists. The government has to have the information. What nobody will tell the American people is that the CIA has been fighting these wicked terrorists since the end of the Second World War. The Muslim Brotherhood has been totally dependent financially on certainly our own intelligence agencies. I mean, Al-Qaeda was certainly a creation of our intelligence agencies. It came out of the Musharraf, who actually were fighting the Soviets in the 1980s, and they simply became Al-Qaeda. And we funded them. And basically, anybody has any question, who opened the CIA on the Internet and type in CIA funds Al-Qaeda, and you'll find references to that. Go up there and type in CIA funds Pakistani intelligence. You'll find we fund Pakistani intelligence. And then type in Pakistani intelligence funds Al-Qaeda. You'll find where I suddenly all sorts of references to Pakistani intelligence in Saudi Arabia funding Al-Qaeda. And then, of course, there's Al-Qaeda in Syria today. And who's funding it? We are. In other words, we're funding Al-Qaeda in Syria and fighting it in Afghanistan. What's wrong with this picture? And then, of course, we use this phony war on terrorism to justify certainly having the government be able to collect dossiers on everything and to know everything we do, and like certain companies have to report everything, or the government can get any records that private companies have on you. Go right ahead, Pat.
Well, that's right. And I think probably now we can get a slightly better picture of what the massive NSA computer center is going to be all about that's being constructed right now in Utah. It's due to come online this year, and it's going to be a huge computer endeavor. People have wondered for the last couple of years, why on earth would they need all this computer power? What would they do with it? Well, I think now we know. If they're able to take private data from all of the, for instance, all of the e-commerce companies in the country, from all of the communications entities in the country, from even companies like Facebook, Twitter, all the social networks, they'll be able to suck data from anywhere and everywhere completely legally, maintain that data, even though it has private information and stuff they have no business really having, but now it's legal. And so they will be able to build a database that, as you say, will completely 100% profile every American citizen in this country.
And it's not only every American citizen. They're doing this for the whole world, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody in China has a number. Everybody in India has a number. They're getting them at birth, just like they're getting them here in the United States. And we're keeping tabs on everybody in the world. And of course, we're told in the end times that everybody will have a number. And you'll neither buy nor sell. Yes, to wear the mark of the beast, to be known by the number of his name. What you're seeing is a fulfillment of prophecy. Everyone with a number. And basically, it's not just the United States, it's the whole world we're doing this. And basically, of course, here in the United States, why our intelligence agencies don't listen to our conversations. The British intelligence listens to our conversations. And over in England, why we listen to the British conversations. And then, of course, we tapped conversations all over Europe. The Europeans, a few years ago, were very angry at that. They don't understand that it's far more than just simply Europe and the United States and England. It's the whole world they're doing this. Go right ahead.
Well, that's right. And this kind of brings us back to, it should bring us back in any case, to talk a little bit about technocracy again, which I've been beating the drum of technocracy here for the last several years now, especially as it relates to the trilateralism, the Trilateral Commission. One of the early requirements, Dr. Stan, of technocracy back in 1932 when they wrote the original requirements was to provide a specific registration of the type, kind, et cetera, of all goods and services, where produced and where used. This was essential to the enforcement of technocracy And now we see it's coming to fruit.
It really is, and ladies and gentlemen, everything is to be monitored. They know exactly what they're doing. And of course, this technocracy is run by technocrats. An elite group is certainly who will regulate people from the cradle to the grave, watch them, monitor them, and basically they have records on you. They have dossiers, not one, but a number of them. They correlate all the different dossiers they have on you at the Fusion Centers. Look them up, ladies and gentlemen. Fusion Centers, F-U-S-I-O-N. All across America. Pat, go right ahead.
Well, while we're even mentioning fusion centers are, in fact, have been established in every state in the union, and they're a private public partnership in a sense between intelligence gathering agencies of the government and private industry. And these fusion centers, so to speak, get their name from a data processing concept known as data fusion. And what that means is you take data from diverse sources where there might be an identifying factor bringing it back to you, and they put that data together from all these different databases into one common database, and they put it through what they call a process of fusion, where they take an inference of the other data and create out of thin air brand new data and stick it in your profile, stick it in the database. And so they manufacture data on you based on these other various pieces of information they gather from around the world. This is called data fusion. It's very dangerous. It's always been dangerous for any corporation who practiced it. Many have, and many have been burned by it. And now it's being practiced in mass by our government, where the profiles they're building on citizens, much of that information is manufactured out of thin air based on bits and pieces of data from other places. And this is a very dangerous precedent because, of course, manufactured data is not factual at all. It's just merely a wild guess. So, you know, if it was determined, for instance, these terrorists ate spinach 5 times a week, and they put that into the rules engine, and then somebody discovers that Dr. Stan also eats spinach 5 days a week. Is Dr. Stan a terrorist? Well, it has nothing to do with it. But you see, if I'm manufacturing that kind of data, I can make those kind of inferences, and you'd be on a watch list. Well, this is what they're doing with this all across the country, Dr. Stan. It's absolutely insane. But this ties into it very well. And the original requirements of technocracy, I'll tell you what, you think George Orwell had a leg up on Big Brother. This stuff was written back in 1932 by people who wanted to take over the country at that time and enforce the implementation of technocracy. The fifth requirement of technocracy was to provide specific registration of a consumption of each individual, plus a record and description of the individual. This is exactly what's being done today. Precisely, all goods and services, where produced and where used, a description of the individual, a registration of all the consumption of each individual. And, you know, people look back at this, oh, that's just a, you know, historic document. That means nothing, whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, if somebody can explain to me then why it's happening to the letter, then we can't possibly look at it as just an anomaly of history that somebody happened to write this up and they made a lucky guess.
No, I think this is all planned. I can remember certainly back in the late 1940s, there was a place over in the Santa Cruz Mountains, or Santa Clara Mountains, basically called Holy City, and it was a center for technocracy, and they actually had a whole community based upon technocracy. Most people didn't even understand what it was at that time, or at least how it was going to influence eventually the lives of everybody in the entire world, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Pat Wood, talking about technocracy and this idea of having these extensive records on everyone. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. But basically, you can go up on the internet, you can look up technocracy. It's been around for a long time. And basically, of course, the bureaucrats today are technocrats. They're answerable to no one. And their whole idea is to regulate individuals and regulate society and control it, not answerable to our elected representatives, but answered only to the ruling elite. Well, if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. And of course, Pat's been talking about technocracy, how we're moving towards technocracy for several years now. Certainly, most people really don't understand it, but it is certainly unfolding, isn't it? Any questions on that?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, if people would, if the average person could read the three or four core articles that I have written, papers that I've written on technocracy, none of which are really over 10, 15 pages, and they could understand technocracy 100% in a very short period of time.
And where can they find those? How can they get to your website?
Well, they can find it on my website, which is the August Forecast and Review. The website is augustforecast.com. And there's a prominent link in the menu bar called Technocracy, and people just have to click on it. They can get their fill of it in a very short period of time.
Let me suggest you just go up on the internet, type in Pat Wood, and then Technocracy, and I'm sure you'll get this information. Well, let's go to Joe. He's calling us from Jersey. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast, 464-2295, and that's Joe from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. How are we doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan. Are you there?
Hello? I am here. Right. Go right ahead.
Oh, all right. You just blanked out. All right. There, I got you. I have a question for your guest, as well as you, Dr. Stan, about this system that they're putting into place. And as well as I just had a comment as to the last program you had about evolution, if you would allow me to just elaborate a little bit on that. But here's my question. Are they going to have the manpower to be able to monitor such a vast array of people?
That's the wonders of computers. What are your thoughts? How would you respond to that, Patrick? I mean, well, I don't think there'll be any problem at all. The computers do most of it, and certainly if there's a question, then they bring in a human being. But, Pat, how would you respond to Joe saying, look, how are they ever going to do this with so many people?
Well, the computers will do it, and of course, computer programs are completely unaccountable, but we all deal with them every day with our utilities, with a phone company, with, all big companies have some kind of interactive, phone conversations or internet conversation with a computer. And, the problem is, if a computer makes a bad decision towards you, good luck trying to find a human to try and straighten it out, you know. And if they do, you better find them on a good day, because if they don't like you for some reason, you're out of luck. And you've been there. I've been there and done that, you know. And it's very frustrating. So computers can be programmed to do anything in the world these people want to do. And that's how they're going to set the policies. And you run afoul of those policies, and, you're going to find all kinds of trouble. And by the way, a lot of people have gotten on the no-fly list, the TSA's no-fly list, and for absolutely no reason whatsoever, but some computer somewhere made a mistake. And they put some poor guy's name on the list, and he goes to the airport, having bought a ticket, and finds out he can't get on the airplane to go where he had to go.
Yeah, see, here's the other thing that just came to mind as you were speaking. If, in fact, they're able to do this, and there are going to be erroneous type of documentation going on, wouldn't that also jam up the whole law system? Because you can take these cases and bring it to a due process.
Well, I don't think you can. Can you, basically, Pat? I don't think you can appeal these things, can you? Patrick? Patrick, are you there?
Oh, shucks, we lost him.
Well, Sydney, I'm going to ask my producer then to get him back on again, but I will have him back here very, very shortly. Patrick Wood, are you there? No, I'm going to ask my producer then to go ahead and call Pat back again, because Pat certainly is the expert on that. But, Joe, they've thought this whole thing through. They know exactly what they're doing. And basically, it's vitally important that people understand that they have the capacity with their computers to do amazing things.
Okay, here's the other question, or the other observation I had with your last guest about evolution, Dr. Stan, since your guest, Patrick, is still waiting to come back on. Think about it. When the world started, it actually started being very chaotic. How could you take something that's chaotic and it by itself develop into a very complex, orderly system? That's absurd. That's number one.
Well, that's number all. Two, we're going to be right back in a moment.
Okay.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so
well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Joe on. We've got Pat Wood on. Joe, did you have anything else? Joe, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, if you don't mind my finishing up on my concept about this evolution, I'll be glad to just give a couple more points.
All right, well, go ahead because it's go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. Take, for instance, this chaotic system, and then all of a sudden it develops into this complex, organized, perfect running system. Think about it. A farmer goes into a field, and the field is totally chaotic, and he wants to level it out and be able to get it organized and plant beautiful plants and edible vegetables. So he goes and does that. However, if he plants the seeds and they start to grow, if there's no input by the farmer, eventually the weeds will take over and destroy the whole farmland. So that in itself destroys the idea of evolution.
You're absolutely right. Things don't get better, they get worse. But hey,
that's
okay, I think your point is well taken, Joe. Hey, look, thanks very much, but I don't want to get off on evolution because our guest evening.
I understand.
Okay, God bless
you. But what about that due process now with Patrick? What does he have to say about that?
About what now? What was the question?
Well, the due process, if there's so many people being erroneously targeted, or not targeted, but placed on no-fly list and so on and so forth, and they want to get their character restated to what their real character is. And now this thing is, wouldn't there be due process in the court system?
Absolutely not. Joe, you try to fight the system, and even if you win, while you lose, they just won't abide by their own laws. We have a bureaucracy. They are not answerable to the people. Yes, certainly things you can actually take into the courts, but things like certainly the being on a no-fly list, you try and get back on again. I'm afraid that you're living in a world that doesn't exist today. We have an authoritarian system, and if you're on that no-fly list, it may take you years to get off of it. Thanks very much for calling, and Pat, would you like to comment on what Pat was saying about certainly trying to take these systems into the courts?
Well, you know, there might have been a glimmer of chance with that before this cybersecurity bill that is on the deck right now, which completely it provides a complete exemption for anybody that provides your data to the federal government. And we already know you can't sue the federal government, so you have no standing. If somebody makes a mistake with your data, you cannot go back through the chain and find somebody who's at fault for having screwed you up. You just can't do it. And even if you find them, and you find somebody is just, you know, really, you know, they just gave all your stuff to them, you can't sue. You could go to a judge. The judge would say, I'm sorry, but federal law says you can't bring a lawsuit against that person, period, and subject. And you're just flat out of luck.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Pat Wood of August Review. Pat, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can get your information, how they can get your website?
Sure, Dr. Stan. It's augustforecast.com. It's August like the month and the word forecast. And people can reach me there. They can send email to me. They can read my work and so on. I have a low-cost subscription for financial advice if people are looking for that as well. That's in addition to everything else that's there. But as you know, I've been writing about the Trilateral Commission and now about technocracy for a long time. And these are issues that people need to be up on. That's all I can say.
And basically, of course, people have to understand that certainly Pat was writing about the Trilateral Commission in the late 1970s. It was organized in 1973, certainly since 1977. Between 1977 and the year 2008, every president of the United States, Democrat or Republican, every president and or vice president in every administration came from the membership of roles of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission that's never had more than 80 members, and some of those are Canadians and Mexicans. A very, very small group of people control both political parties, control the media, control the banking system. There are six major corporations that control the banking system, and they control 69% of all the financial assets held by our banking system. There are six major corporations that control the media, and they largely determine what the American people believe and think, and I'm amazed that there are as many people as well informed today as there are, and I think that we can thank the internet for that. Well, basically, but if you really want to get information on what's going on, let me recommend Pat Wood. Pat Wood's website and his material on the Trilateral Commission is the best information available today. And Pat was certainly a friend of our good friend, Professor Anthony Sutton, who certainly had studied this very well. Unfortunately, Tony died some years ago, but Pat has continued keeping us updated on the activities of the Trilateral Commission. And certainly, as far as experts on this, Pat is the leading expert on the Trilateral Commission in the entire world today. And I'm sure that even Barry Goldwater got a lot of his information from Pat and from Pat's websites. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I think it's very difficult for most people really to believe that six of the last eight presidents of the World Bank came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. Eight of the 10 U.S. trade representatives, seven of the 12 certainly secretaries of state, and nine of the 12 secretaries of defense between 1977 and the year 2008, they all came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. And when Barack Hussein Obama became president, he took at least 11 members of the Trilateral Commission. Remember, there's never been more than 80 of the North American chapter, but 11 of them were Obama's closest advisors. And if you think that he is an independent individual, you are incredibly naive. Certainly, the government is very well controlled, both the Republican and the Democrat parties, by exactly the same people. But it's all a facade. They want you to think you're going to be able to change things by voting. And certainly we need to continue demanding we have paper ballots and that they are printed in the precinct and posted in the precinct, and that basically when there are irregularities, it will be a major criminal crime if these are not posted. There were literally thousands of certainly irregularities in the election in November of last year, and almost none of them were evaluated. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, I probably need to throw a softball at the president's national security advisor, Tom Donilon, who happens also to be a member of the Trilateral Commission. And nothing reaches the president's ears as it relates to national security, except that it comes through the lips of Tom Donilon. And so we saw Tom Donilon presiding over the Benghazi affair. We saw Tom Donilon meeting with the Saudi premier just a couple of days ago when President Obama walked into the meeting unannounced or unscheduled anyway. And, you know, so we see that there's a very tight net around the president, and apparently things are being filtered by members of the Trilateral Commission, even still after all these years. I should also make mention for people who know such things and want to write such things down, the two bills that we talked about earlier. One is H.R. 624. That's the cybersecurity bill, H.R. 624. And the Senate bill is on the taxation issue is S.743. And so if people want to go look those up, the text of those is available online, and they can find them easily by going to thomas.gov or wherever. Just do a Google search, you get it. And you can read those bills for yourself and be ready to catch your eyeballs when they fall out.
Well, basically, of course, they play games with our minds. And basically, of course, a beautiful example of that is this recent bombing in Boston. And there's so many articles up on the Internet that are just so ridiculous. For instance, did you know that the principal of the school there at Sandy Hook, who was actually killed there at the shooting at Sandy Hook at school in Newtown, Connecticut, she was running in the marathon this year, and they had pictures of her there. Why would somebody put that on the Internet? Ladies and gentlemen, they feed all of this information into your mind to the point where you really can't make any sense out of things. I have pictures of the head of the FBI there in Boston. What was he doing at the marathon, actually helping? Did he know there was going to be an explosion? Well, if you look at the pictures on the Internet and look at the ambulance behind him, the lettering on the ambulance is in Russian. This had nothing to do with certainly our crisis here. It was a picture taken from some other place. But they put this up on the Internet, and we could go down with so many of the things having to do with the recent bombing designed to confuse you so you cannot see objectively what's going on. And they do this on every aspect of what's going on today so that the American people cannot think effectively or clearly. Would you agree with that, Pat?
Well, you know, I would, Dr. Stan. And we're on information overload. There's no doubt about it. There's so much stuff coming from so many places. There's so many trash sites on the internet now today that just spin, they just spin tales out of, you know, fiction. It's out of thin air, and they put it out there as proof. Of course, many of the news agencies do the same thing. But it's very difficult for anybody trying to sort it out and make, you know, make sense out of it. You know, you almost just want to throw up your hands, turn off the TV, cut the internet line, you know, cancel your newspapers, just go out and, you know, play golf or something. But, of course, you know, that's, we can't really do that. That's not the way to, you know, hopefully to, you know, move our country in another direction. But it is very discouraging. Most people that are under-informed voters, if you will, basically just get numb to all this stuff, and they just stop listening. So.
Well, our job is just to keep talking and hope that more and more people will be listening. I know that our audience is growing. We get all sorts of responses from all over the world and across America. We know that people are listening. It's your, if you're out there listening, your job is, of course, to get other people listening, try to talk them, and a realization that if something happens to America, either financially or otherwise, they could lose everything they've spent their whole life working for, and they better be well aware of what's happening politically and economically and, of course, spiritually as far as our country is, because behind all the things that are going on today are powerful spiritual forces. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, and you have a question for our guest, Pat Wood. And certainly Pat is the world's leading expert right now on technocracy. He's the world's leading expert on the Trilateral Commission. Certainly there's no conservative we have who can speak as eloquently and certainly as objectively about what they're doing. Everything focuses our attention on the Bilderbergers. Why so much attention on the Bilderbergers? So that you won't certainly be focusing on the organization that's really doing the problem. Certainly the Bilderbergers are real. They have their meetings. But I don't believe they make the major decisions there that are made behind the scenes of the Trilateral Commission. What are your thoughts on that, Pat?
Well, this has been the case historically. The Trilateral Commission was first discussed at a Bilderberg meeting in 1972, where the idea was floated by both Brzezinski and Rockefeller together. They got significant encouragement from other members of the group that met that year, saying, hey, yeah, it sounds like a great idea, go do it. And in the next year, 1973, the Trilateral Commission was born, and it's been in force ever since. It is not a government agency. It's a private organization. They drew their initial membership from North America, Japan, and Europe. They've never looked back. All the things they set out to do, which namely was to create a new international economic order, they have done. And unfortunately, it's broken beyond repair. But this is what they've done. This is the policy that they created in the early 1970s to reshape and reform our world into a new economic system. And they've done it, and it's busted, and they're still alive. It's busted isn't quite the right word. It has been plundered to the point where the system is busted, broken. And they've plundered it methodically, on purpose, with skilled precision, where they have made billions and trillions of dollars over this period of time at the expense of taxpayers, small businesses, nation states. They've plundered just about everybody they could get their hands on.
And basically, of course, what their goal is to change the religious structure of the world, to change the economic structure of the world, the banking structure of the world, and the political structure of the world, and they're doing a great job of that. They want to do away with national sovereignty. In fact, you listen to Mrs. Merkel, Prime Minister of Germany, and she'll tell you, the countries over in Europe are just going to have to give up their sovereignty. America's going to have to give its sovereignty to join the North American Union. That, of course, what is if we join Mexico and Canada and the United States together. What people don't understand is this is all long-range planning to do away with sovereignty, to do away with freedom, and to bring everybody under the control of this ruling elite. Would that be a fairly accurate statement, Pat?
Well, it is, and it didn't occur to Tony and myself back in the 70s and the early 80s that the Trilateral Commission was essentially a technocracy. We just kind of missed that subtle point. But now looking back after having studied technocracy, historic technocracy that is plainly evident that members of the Trilateral Commission and the organization itself basically had in mind to create a technocracy from day one. That's what their new international economic order was. We misread it a little bit, thinking it might have just be, you know, been rearranging the existing economic order. But they're pushing for something brand new, Dr. Stan, that the world has never seen before, and it's called technocracy. And they're taking it off point by point, controlling nations and the people of nations around the world, to the extent that there will come a day, probably within the next 2 years, when they will have the ability to simultaneously to control all of the economies of the world and all the people of those economies at the same time with the same policies. And when that happens, when that switch is able to be thrown, I personally believe that switch will be thrown so fast it'll make our heads spin. They're just waiting for it to take place.
And basically what they have done, and they will acknowledge that they have done this, they have raised the living standards of China. They've transformed China from where it was in 1973 to where it is today. They've done the same thing in India, certainly. India did not have a middle class. It has a large middle class today. They're transforming the structure, economic and political structure, of the whole world. But, of course, people think that they're voting in their governments. They're not. The votes are certainly all fraudulent. And certainly in China, where they don't even have pretend that they're having votes, but they do in India, they do here in the United States, they do this in Europe, but it really doesn't matter. For instance, suddenly when Italy was having some economic problems, why suddenly they had a new premier. His name was Mario Monti. Where did he come from? He came from the Trilateral Commission. Was he elected? No. And in Greece, they were having problems. Like a fellow came in named Papademos, I believe is his name. Where did he come from? He came from the Trilateral Commission. They voted him out eventually. But basically, they put their people into key positions. They just appoint them. And the average individual has no idea what's really going on. Our guest, Pat Wood, will be back in a moment. Pat, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program tonight.
Well, it is curious to a lot of people, Dr. Stan, how these members of the Trilateral Commission can just keep showing up like that. But both the Prime Minister of Italy, Monti, and Papademos, they were both hailed as technocrats when they were installed by the European Union as unelected prime ministers of those countries. They're not afraid to use that language in Europe because it's pretty transparent. They just throw it right out there. Nobody in America would call somebody like Timothy Geithner, for instance, ex-Secretary of Treasury. Nobody would think to call him a technocrat, but essentially he was just as much a technocrat as those two people in Europe that were appointed to the premiers of those countries. And so, you know, we have this idea of technocracy spreading around the world. People have written about China being a technocracy from about 1983. People have written about India being a technocracy, South American countries being technocracies. Nobody, I don't know anybody really but me, who's been saying that America is turning into a technocracy. But I'll tell you what, it sure needs to be said, Dr. Stan, over and over and over until people get it right, because we're not going to like it when somebody appoints, a new president to our country who we didn't elect. It's not going to be a good day in America.
Well, I really hate to say this, Pat, but I think this is exactly what's happening. I don't think we vote for the candidate of our choice. I think we vote for the candidate of their choice. I think that they rig a lot of the electronic voting machines. And I don't really think, of course, the American people. I mean, certainly we have the vote, but of course, how do we know how those votes are counted? I get calls all the time from people who are working across the country trying to monitor the voting, and they just won't allow them to do it. And you want to go ahead and complain. You complain all you want to. The election's over, and there's no going back. And I really believe we have increasingly total corruption at every level of government. And of course, this is one reason why they're able to get away with so many of the things they do, because they have their people in the courts, they have their people certainly in the military, they have their people in the banking and corporate world, education, they control the media, and they control so many of the politicians who, if they want to get elected, will simply go through the actions of opposing the ruling elite, but never do anything of any significance. Your parting thought before we let you go, Pat?
Well, no, Dr. Stan, I think that, you know, people who are concerned about this, if it, maybe this is the first time they've really been exposed to this stuff, the more you study it, the better. But I'll tell you what, it makes a lot of sense to have, if whatever you're reading, have a Bible on the other side and give it equal time. To read what the Bible says.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought for just a moment, Pat. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Pat was making a point that certainly the most important thing you can do is to have a Bible and understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle. Parting thought before I let you go.
Well, that's exactly right. And beyond that, they need to understand the power and importance of prayer in their own lives and also for the leadership in our country.
We're involved in a spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen, for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Christianity is under attack today by the people who rule this country, and I believe, of course, they are agents of the prince of this world, the prince of darkness. Good night, Pat. God bless, and talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
And this is, of course, Dr. Stan here. Our guest is certainly Patrick Wood, one of my favorite guests. He's one of the best informed people in thy nation. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to understand the Trilateral Commission. If you want to get more into the background of so much of what's going on, we have a number of books, certainly. If you'd like a catalog, we'd be glad to get them for you. We have Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, the story of the secret society that birthed the Trilateral Commission, and how, of course, the bankers, working together in concert, control the economy of the world. And this is what Professor Quigley says. Professor Quigley wrote this book. He'd been a professor at Yale and Princeton before he went to Georgetown University, where his most famous student was a man named William Jefferson Clinton. But of course, certainly Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, was actively suppressed for many years. We have his other book, The Anglo-American Establishment. Those two books are must reading for anybody who wants to know what's going on. The book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, vitally important. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And then Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, taking you into the occult and secret organizations, the spiritual organizations which dominate the world. And there are literally millions of Americans who've gone over to the dark side and are involved in these truly satanic and Luciferian organizations where they worship a different god, the god of this planet. And ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you that if you go over to the other side, there's all sorts of supernatural power that you can tap into, but you don't want to do it because it can cost you your eternal soul. This is not imaginary. It's real. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs live 4 hours a day, where you can hear our archive programs 24 hours a day. And, of course, you can certainly go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can certainly read our newsletters. You can watch our DVDs. And, of course, as I say, you can listen to our radio programs. There's all sorts of information up there on logos. In fact, if you go through the logos, certainly the spiritual logos, you'll find Nero's Cross. And what is Nero's Cross? Well, you'll find it at the center of the logo for the Trilateral Commission. Go to their website, trilateral.org. Look at their logo, three curved sixes, or three curved arrows. And, of course, you may or may not be able to see the sixes there. I'm sure they can. Maybe you can't. But three curved arrows, and then, of course, joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. They know exactly what they're doing, and this is almost a direct replica of Nero's cross, which goes back to early biblical days, which antedates even that. Of course, it's a symbol of the ancient satanic religions. So what's it doing in the center of the logo of the Trilateral Commission? Our number, you can see it at trilateral.org, trilateral.org. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is must reading. And then, of course, we hope you'll get the DVD on the Agenda 21, the covert plan, population control, the covert agenda, Certainly the World Revolution, a very important DVD. Desperate Deception, my interview with Norman Dodd, my interview, of course, you can get with the general, certainly a Marine general speaks, a four-star Marine general we talk to. And then, of course, Pray for America, but Pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. And until the same time tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show. It is 22 April. It is Monday. It is 2013. Interesting times, to say the least. Frightening times, confusing times, and it's getting even worse, if you ask me. If you live in Portsmouth or Denver or Washington, D.C., heads up. We'll talk about why you need to have heads up. Of course, the world, the media world, is watching the Boston story. It's all about Zarniev, Zarniev, Zarniev. The two guys, how they died, or how he died. The other one ran over him, or maybe he didn't. We don't know for sure, but he's got a bullet to his neck and can't talk. Listeners, the story is in shambles. It really is. Which makes me fear that there's going to be another destruction. Can you spell West Texas?